Welcome everyone. Welcome that Ramasat. You are most welcome. Members, let's start, but we have some few problems or challenges. Or in terms of apologies, Honorable Schneeman and Honorable Killen. She's saying this is the only week that she must join us. And Honorable Schneeman also apologized. And the standing apology for Honorable Van der Merck. He has been writing every day. Getting the list, maybe we must deal with the other issues. We agree, members, that today the first item will be dealing with the SABC finalization of the name. I just want to check whether parties are ready to deal with that before we can proceed. Honorable Shi.
I have the proposal that given that we also conducted this interview with Honorable the advocates. I was proposing that let's deal with the interview then in our next commission meeting and deal with the commission for all the two boards, the SABC and the NBC. On Monday, Tuesday, sir. How about it? The recommendation. I was saying, even said that also Honorable Killian is not here, and then we started on this process together with it. And we'd also like to see our input and view on the recommendation. So I was proposing that let us also deal with them to be able to finish everything. I'm next to choosing deal with recommendation for both appointments.
Oh, okay, so we finalize the recommendation first thing Tuesday. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's copy. Members, do you have the list of the candidates to the interview? But we have the list. No, thanks, members. Probably proceed, but they are sorting out the list for the other members who don't have. But I will explain why on the list it looks like a female, but in front of us is a male. It's a male, so I have to explain when the changes, you know, the gender or sexual orientation change happen and how it did it happen. Members, we've been experiencing a huge problem with our candidates, special candidate number one and number two. They should have left Joburg at 10. We are told that the 10 o'clock flight, they managed to leave after 12 or 12 to 1 because of the weather. Flights are not leaving Joburg. But finally, they took off. They've already landed at the airport. And they are on their way here probably that's why number one and number two are not starting with number one. The candidate which is before us is Mr. Erasa Ramachate, who was supposed to come as candidate number three, although in the notice is written four. Was supposed to come as candidate number three. I was told that with candidate number four, Dr. Moody, she has voted, she's also coming. But we had a problem with her because she had other commitments, but she finally agreed to come. We also tried to do the teleconference with her. But I think that where she is, there are no facilities and so on. And finally, she agreed that she will be flying in here. So that's why we also put her at last, because in terms of the time, she was going to arrive a bit late than everyone, since we didn't know what would be the weather in Chok originally and so on. But the two committees, one and two, Ms. Nokuzola Aaron and Mr. Jimmy Mani, they are on their way from the airport already. So we recommend that probably we proceed with Mr. Ramachandra because he is already here. He wanted to run away when we were discussing. I asked him one way why he was discussing your part. He was discussing something with you, even if you were at home, could watch it. So not a problem. That's the explanation, Honorable She, why he's not a she. He is a he. Thanks very much, members. If you are agreeable with that, probably just proceed. Welcome, Dr. Rama Chapman. You are not here for the first time. I assume that they have taken you through the operation of the system and so on. When you speak, you switch it on. When you finish to speak, you switch it off. There is a button somewhere next to it, the on and off. You are most welcome, feel free. Members will ask you questions. If you don't understand the question, you can request the members to repeat through me. I'm Kumbuzo Eric Colan, facilitating the interview. I hope you still remember which interview you attended. I'm not talking in the real life, but remember sometimes they will stand up and read their own statement. And then the media say it's a wrong statement, so they were not supposed to read. It happens in one of the interviews. One member came with a speech for GCIS in a debate of the Department of Communication. And when he was in the media, when he was asked, but are you debating the whole same thing? Then he looked into it and said, damn, I took the wrong one. I took the other one, so, but I'm not welcome. Members, our candidate, Mr. Ramachate, is here. Welcome, Dadikakan, with us and is ready to take questions. Members will introduce themselves as they ask you questions. Thank you, members. They are saying that please remember your last interview with me, so they can decide on that. They don't need to add anything. But I'm wrong.
You know, imagine me, I'm not very well, and I become confused. I'm looking for where I switch, and it's just in front of me. And don't tell me that it's H. Yeah. good afternoon, Mr. Ramachandra. Can you firstly tell us why you think you would be a good candidate to be selected to the MPPA, and tell us the role of MPPA, and as far as you know, I suppose you've been watching NBA because it seems you are interested. Is NBA fulfilling its mandate? Those are the three questions at the moment that I want you to come in. I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Honorable Rotors. I hope you're writing down the questions. Honorable Shin, Honorable Nivod Roshan, you will follow. Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Marian Shin. Wanting to know, you're involved in community radio stations, but yet from what I see from your CV, you've never actually been involved in the management or the production of any station, TV or radio station, or any kind of media working experience. Why are you interested in community radio, and how did you get involved, and what are the challenges of the smaller media outlets, both in small newspapers, radio and television? Thank you.
Thank you. I could see Honorable Nicole Rohan, she was waving that she's not ready to take it to ask her question. That Ramatlapi, you can respond on the topic.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must just start by once more thanking this committee for showing this to me and giving me this opportunity to myself once more. I thank the committee wholeheartedly. In responding to the questions as to why do I think I would be a good candidate, I believe that I can also play a instrumental role in making sure that the community media benefits through MPDA, a process that I believe to be working, and the process that I believe that I could come in, and like I said last time, to add value on a working formula. It is also very interesting and encouraging to want to associate yourself with a product that adds value, that represents this committee very well, knowing the fact that the board of MGDA has been appointed by this the collective, and the success of that board primarily reflects the correct selections done by this particular committee. So on that basis, I believe that I could come in. I have experience in radio. I've been involved, which is one question that I'm going to come back to in a short period of time. I've been involved both in management and in board, and I believe that with that insight, having participated in the establishment of new structures, with the key domination of my experience in radio, I was part of the founding team of the National Community Radio Forum. And at that stage, around 1983-84, we also had what we call the National Community Media Forum. I was also part of that executive, a part of its officials. So I believe with the knowledge that I have, with the experience that I've amassed all over the years, I believe that I've got the responsibility to avail myself to such an institution that has the intention of contributing immensely in the redressing of the balances of the past, in terms of making sure that what our people used to fight for, as for freedom of the airways, is something that is working in all spheres. And I believe that with the little experience that I have, I think this joint organization can benefit. Because all of us have got the responsibility to partake. We have a country that is 20 years old, an organization that is 10 years old. So it says that with the experience that we had before and that we had during this period, one can add value. The role of NGDA is primarily, as captured in my input, is to reserve the imbalance of the past with respect to assisting the previously disadvantaged communities to make sure that they partake in the media industry, both print and electronic or radio, just to make sure that the TV, just to make sure that the there are resources that are availed to make sure that our people are able to do community work correctly, to also make sure that for them to be able to render those services to the broader community, they must have skills. So MDDA is for that other responsibility of making sure that it provides skills, it makes sure that people are trained, well equipped to be able to articulate properly. Because sometimes what you learn from such institutions, you learn how to project yourself as a person who's taught how to present, how to do an article. You are also taught how to run an institution at a management level, at operational level, as a journalist, as part of management, as part of the board. So all those experiences, NGDA is making sure that it would enhance the skills that our people have to be able to make sure that the constitution is taken forward. Remember that the MDA is also a tool that comes, that is informed by the constitution, chapter 16 and chapter 31, that talks to the freedom of the airways, accessing to information. So the foundation is solid. So the objective is to make sure that that constitutional foundation is implementable to such an organization. So the MDDA Act of 2002 is just an extension of the constitutional intention, constitutional mandate through this August House. So I'm just saying that the roles of MDDA are primarily to make sure that the community media, there's control, there are operations, there's management, there's guidelines, there are guidelines in terms of how things should be done. So the roles will obviously not be limited to that, because as time goes on, when the organization picks up challenges in the process, they will then continuously adjust their programs to make sure that the objectives are realized in terms of making sure that the our communities benefit out there. Whether the MDA is currently fulfilling its mandate as a 10-year organization, I think they are making strides. This is one vehicle that is doing it well. I think this is one vehicle that is doing well. It is on the page, because sometimes you want to join a vehicle that is working, sometimes you want to join a vehicle that is not working. Why would you want to join a vehicle that is not working? Is to make sure that you go in there to assist and make sure that the vehicle works, the systems work, the systems that are not there are implemented. The responsibilities that are there are adjusted accordingly to make sure that they work. Sometimes you join a vehicle that is working. Now, with this vehicle that is working, you go in there because it's very easy to destroy something that is, or it's actually very easy to destroy whatever is not working, or what is working. It's very difficult to maintain a good system. So sometimes we want to join those who are doing well, so that together we maintain the operations of the organization. So I am comfortable that it's given that privilege by this collective to be part of this organization, or this agency. I'll be able to make sure that the gains achieved thus far are realized. I mean, it's reporting mechanisms through the Auditor General is just a powerful proof to show that internally the systems of this agency are working well. So one must just go in there and make sure that we add up on what is happening. Chairman, the other question deals with my personal working experience, my personal relationship with the media in this context. I have been part of community media, or part of community radio. I started when I was at the University of Durban West, which is now University of KwaZulu-Natal. We had a radio station there called Hardworks Radio. It was a campus radio station. And at that stage, it was something away from my studies. I was studying law, but during my free time and my other time that was available to me, I was just going there and joined the radio station. And that's where I learned everything that I know more about the basics of an organization. Through Orthodox Radio, I became a presenter. I went on to be part of management, and I became the station coordinator at that stage, which is commonly called station manager. I was part of the station. And at that stage, as a campus radio station, because we were primarily broadcasting with the campus, we then also had our sister station at the University of Natal, Durban. They call it Durban Youth Radio. They also were a campus radio station, but they were more fortunate because with the cordial relationship that they had with the management of the university, they managed to get a license, and they were broadcasting in the para community around Durban. That's why they brought in, them to be Durban Youth Radio. So we, as from the Old West Radio Station, together with the Durban Youth Radio, we came together because we realized that there was still within where Durban Youth Radio Old West was, there was enough field that could come in to augment what the youth radio had. So we broadcasted. So that was our first experience to broadcast outside campus to a community out there. So we did well for several years until we left campus. Thereafter, I went home. I'm from Rustenburg. I joined an existing community radio station there called Radio Mafisa. I went in there primarily at board level now. There I became the board member, went on to the secretary of the board, and ultimately became the chairperson of the board for about 7 years. And that's where, at management level, we were able to engage with part of the board. So my experience in the board helped me to broaden my horizon. Besides being part of this NCR, while I was at the university, I got involved in the establishment or the formation of the National Community Radio Forum. That exposure came from campus radio, and then I joined the Radio Mafisa and Rustenburg at board level. That was my primary involvement, both at operational management level and again as a board member. The challenges that are there to the media broadly and generally are very critical and instrumental. And from our interactions with other stations, because in our province there are platforms that we have where stations would come together and talk about their challenges, we are seeing that sometimes, like I said before, you find an instance where democracy takes over, but not sometimes it takes over to the detriment of the station, in the sense that there should be elections regularly. Now some of the people who are leading professionally, who are leading the station correctly, may not necessarily be available for the next elections, and when the new team comes in, sometimes they come in with new ideas or no ideas at all, and that becomes a danger to the organization. Because in our communities, when we vote for people, we vote for anybody who is available at that particular place. Sometimes it is tricky for whatever skills they have. There are those who go in and add a lot of value based on their professional insight, their organizational insight, or their radio insight.
Which part were you adding or not adding value?
I you know, for the benefit of this leadership collective, I was part of the constructive committee. Because I at that stage I was part of the board already, so I was in the board until up to the beginning of 2012. So I've been part of that. So we learned out of that. We are able to guide the stations from management and also from the side of the board in terms of how things should be done. Now those practical experiences, one would want to formalize them in many other ways, either through private engagement or through formalized platforms like the MCTA. It's a platform that I believe when the MCTA colleagues go around, talk about what MCTA does, it adds value, and then people benefit out of that. So we would want to continuously add value, make sure that we address all these challenges, because some of these challenges are achievable. And sometimes you need these challenges to be stronger. we have been growing, because all along for this many years we've been going through challenges, and we will adjust our operations to make sure that we achieve our objectives. I hope you have said once more that you will guide in terms of whether I've responded to all the questions and to the best of this competence.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ramaswamy. Honorable Moroto, followed by Mpambi.
Yes,
Brogen will follow up sometime.
Yes, but I just want to make a request. That Mr. Ramaswamy. I'm listening to his responses. They are, to me, they are very vague. And he generalizes a lot. Can he elaborate more and tell us, if we ask a question, he must tell us exactly what he thinks this institution should be, MGTA, because it was established for a purpose. And that is the reason its name explains it very well. Now, if you are explaining in the manner in which he's explaining, it's just generalizing issues of management. And I would like you to elaborate more, if we are talking about the mandate of MTTA, I suppose you will be talking from your knowledge of what the legislation says about the MDTA, and go deeper so that he understands that you know what you're talking about. Now, the explanation you're giving us right now, the responses are so general that any other person who has been participating in management or in any other institution can answer in that manner. But there's a purpose for MDTA, and that is what you want to know. And that's the reason why I'm asking, how are they doing at the time? You touched on the Auditor General's report, but you didn't go deep and tell us what you know about them. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ntande.
Thank you, sir. Good day, Mr. Lomaka. I'm looking at your CV. Your current employment is a private consultant. I want to understand what kind of consultancy do you provide. Also to make you to with regard to, are there any potential conflicts of interest if you are compared to the MBA board? On your work experience, you just said until 12 years in a senior manager, director of corporate services. It was from 1 to 2012 because you have a certificate. Then also, as Honorable Moroto was saying recently, myself, you might have understood that MDDA had for the past 9 consecutive years obtained an unqualified audit. It was effectively in the intersection. And then I want you to specifically deal with what the Constitution says, the Public Finance Management Act, and the King's Code of Governance. And then I'm saying, in what way do you think all these complementary policies can help solve the governance issue in general? And then also, how will you use these policy documents if you are given an opportunity to be sure that the community reduce account for the money appropriated to them by Parliament for the betterment of the lives of the people in those communities. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tambi. Honorable Nicole Prosha.
Thank you, Chair. I haven't asked a question earlier because Honorable Chen has covered me. As the answers, it didn't really make any sense, so that's why I'm going to ask this again. What is your understanding about community newspapers? You have been involved with community radio, but with community newspapers, I want to know, what is your understanding of the challenges that they are facing especially in the new state of facility. And then I would, with languages, we want to see that more languages are used in the new state. And what do you understand of their challenges that they are facing today?
Thank you. Thank you. You may ask for. But probably you will take the advice from Honorable Maroka that when you respond, just give us the piece of what you are talking about. Don't be generous on your response. And you can continue to respond.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In terms of the objectives of MBDA as outlined, one of the objectives of MBDA is to make sure that the previously disadvantaged institutions, both in media in terms of print and broadcasting, are enhanced. That is one of them. Make sure that those organizations which are run and owned by the previously disadvantaged communities operate correctly. That would also mean that those institutions must get resources. And the resources may be in many ways, or may be in this particular manner. They may be assisted through funding. Funding to make sure that they are able to run their operations, they are able to fund their programs when they have activities, when they have to, sometimes they've got to access other communities to get more information, get more news, they should be able to do that. Now, that funding, those resources could be used for that. I know in some instances, stations or projects would submit application for funding, and then that funding would then be used accordingly. Sometimes they would request the funding maybe to purchase a vehicle that would transport the journalists around, a vehicle that will be used for operational purposes with respect to the station, so that facility will be used for that objective. The other fund could be used by the station, depending on its request, and at the discretion of the MDDA, that funding could be used for the studio. We find that the station needs to revamp its studio operations. Speaking from the students of where I come from, I know that some of the stations, including Masisa, itself, when I was part thereof, they bought a new studio funded by the MDDA. Sometimes they will then make sure that there is continuous training. Now, training will happen in this particular manner. The management of the station will be called to a particular seminar to be capacitated about the operations that are required to run a station, where they will probably, in some instances, invite the program managers, producers, station managers, or certain strategic people within the station to be able to learn more about the operations of that institution. If it's about the print, they will then invite them to come through an institution that will teach them matters related to print. The objective is to make sure that the people are trained and capacitated to be able to report broadly, but not just get a story and go on air, but must be able to know that before you take a story on air, you must make sure that that story is balanced, it's got the other side also. So those are the details that the people are trained on, broadcasting and stuff like that. So MDDA has got that other responsibility, primarily to deal with the imbalances of the past, to develop the skills, to make sure that the stations operate correctly and in a harmonious manner. The other strategic objective of MEDA is to make sure that without any approach, to make sure that all those, even though they are broad in terms of the operation, they would assist every patient. But their operation dictates that they will prioritize those that come from disadvantaged communities, so that they are able to operate in a manner that is expected from them. That is with respect to some of the responsibilities of and the purpose of MEDA is to make sure that our people have got access to this tool, have got access to what comes out of this particular tool. Whenever there are elections, for instance, we'll be having elections very soon, MEDA will make sure that the stations and projects, wherever they are in a position to capture the operations of the elections. They will be able to cover the activities that are happening in all the election processes. Sometimes they have to cover the campaigning by different political parties. They will interview people. For you to be able to conduct a proper interview, you must have been trained to do that. So I'm just saying that that tells you that the MDDA's objective is to make sure that media broadly exists and is accessible to all the people. And that people are able to appreciate the nature of this tool that they have. Presently, indeed, I've been working in local government for about 15 years, and then only at the stage I've been working as a fashion system manager in terms of the Systems Act. They have what they call Section 56 or Section 57 managers. Those are HODs or head of department or directors or managers. Those people are budgeted according to their particular responsibility. So my role was for a particular term, and that term ended up to October 2012. So I've been unemployed from that time, from November 2012, except that sometime during early last year, I was involved with a private company for legal purposes. They were rendering a service at the Department of Transport, so they wrote me in, and I became part of that consultancy. This is for the Department of Transport. So at this particular stage, I'm unemployed. I then decided to form to register this company and say, you know, maybe there are two ways of making a living. You either get employed or you use your services. Because by employed, you may be appointed in a particular position, you may be elected in a particular position. But in this case, I just felt that maybe, because I don't know what the future holds for me, maybe I must just see how I can utilize my skills broadly as a private person in my private capacity, because it's a private sector system that I've not been part of. I'm learning how to get to that, and maybe that's why I've not been actively that much of that company. Still, it's not yet functioned effectively. But I've been using it to address meetings, like I spoke about addressing the meeting of three stations in the Northwest. The media day that took place in the Northwest also, I used that in this, using this particular company.
Okay. Earlier, there's one question which you talk about, but you don't seem to elaborate on it, not elaborate just talk in general, is the issue of the role and the of MDA. I don't think that we have exhausted that question. And probably members, in particular Honorable Droshen, was asking about, do you understand that there's this thing called community free? Because you seem to be dwelling more on community rights. And that is linked to the role of MDA. I think it will be fair for these members if they are going to
finally look into when they deal with the final selection to understand whether you know what MPA is all about. Do you know the role of MPA? If you do, can you tell us the basis? Why MPA exists and what exactly MPA is supposed to do and how?
Thank you very much, Sir Kosana. I put it down there because it came late, but I appreciate that for the input because indeed some of these things are interlinked. As I respond, I'll be going back to them. This also further clarifies a particular question raised earlier on. I was still clarifying the question of my private consultancy. I think I should not linger too much on that one. Because when I was explaining where I am, I was trying to create a base for a question that came around potential conflict of interest in terms of where I am. That's why I was saying that at this stage at home I'm not involved in any employment, so that would indicate that I would not have any conflict. In the event that there is work that I identified to do within my company, when I get into MDDA, I would obviously be able to clarify, outline, declare a particular operation on this particular matter. So I would not utilize my company for in a manner that conflicts with the operations of the organization. Where the students, I think, are touched on that one in terms of where I come from, which is covered within, as I was talking about, my private consultancy and the potential conflict that may be there. But I also understand that what the meaning of conflict of interest, the ability to recuse oneself in the event that there is a challenge with respect to conflict of interest. The question in terms of Section 15, if I'm not wrong, talks to the freedom of the of expression. Section 32 talks to access to information. Now, like I was saying, their objective is to make sure that the whatever media institution we have on the ground, it must be informed by those key fundamental factors. Freedom of the airways, which means that people must be able to broadcast, must have access to the airways, the stations must be there, must be allowed. ICASA is there to assist in making sure that there is regulation around such institutions, and which also is applicable to both print and electronic media. Having access also indicates the fact that people must be able to know more about what is happening. Information must be available, depending on the limitations of the constitution. So that should be operational. The King 3 document. This is a very strategic document that was designed to assist boards in terms of governance, to make sure that when board members are elected as a collective and individually, they should be able to follow certain guidelines. They should be able to have certain understandings about the operation of the board. They must understand that this is a collective institution. It must be run. I know there's a chapter in that document that talks to issues of integrity, issues of risk, issues of performance. It relates to them as issues that are intertwined. It outlines that for a board to operate, the board must respect the views and perceptions of the people, because that's what informs how people judge that particular organization. Now, these are some of the choices that are in the document. There is also this one that says that there should be regular monitoring of the station, of the institution, of all those sectors. Board numbers must be regularized, must be monitored, and that report must be made available, must be presented at AGMs, annual general meetings, where members of the community will be able to assess and evaluate whether there is progress, whether there are challenges, whether there are problems, for them to be able to resolve issues that are involved in the nation. So the King III document captures those fundamental questions, and it makes sure that the board members know their responsibilities in terms of making sure that they become selfless in the running of the organization, in the sense that they attend meetings, they make contributions in assisting the organization to succeed in its mandate. So it then would regulate the governance operations of the institution and make sure that there are policies, because the board will formulate policies. Now those policies will be broad policies that talk to recruitment policies, there will be policies that talk to disciplinary issues, training, because when you do training, you must also most preferably have policies, have issues that will be able to assist in the running of the institution. Community radio accountability. Now, this will obviously also be applicable to any organization that is led by a board, any organization that has a leadership. It may be radio, it may be print, it may be electronic in the form of TV. All of them have got boards that have got the responsibility of making sure that the institution is run properly, is run accordingly. Now, what then happens? Details in terms of how they operate must be presented at the annual general meeting or any other forum that is applicable or relevant to share the information in terms of the operations. Now, that's where, when the report is presented, the community will be able to make an evaluation and assessment and take decisions in terms of the recommendations or the challenges or the frustrations or the successes of the report, and out of that report they will then be able to decide to renew or to come up with different mandates to those who have been entrusted to run that particular institution. So that element of accountability is broadly done at that particular forum, but leaders in their operational objectives will obviously give reports during sessions, during meetings, in terms of their operations. My experience with, or my understanding in terms of the role of newspaper. Now, the principles that are applicable within radio are also applicable to the newspaper. I personally have not been involved at board level for a newspaper. I have not been operationally involved in terms of doing journalistic work, except when we do articles for the station, because at the stage in Rustenburg within Radio Mafisa, they used to have a newspaper called West. I knew about it. I was not that involved, but at the university we had a campus newspaper. I was not that much involved in the running of that newspaper. It was part of it, because when I was at the university at the stage, I was in the SRC responsible for media. And then I worked with people who are in print media. I would know that reporting by its nature, the principles that are applicable to radio are also applicable to radio. I have attended several sessions where we were engaged in terms of the journalistic skills for both radio and print, but I would put it clear that I may know what they do, but I personally, like I was involved in radio, occupied a responsible position in radio, I have not been to this paper. Their challenges depend on the challenge.
That I'm not sure. Well, that's fine. Members, do you have other questions? or follow up on your question with some Mtambi. You can finish what you were saying. I don't see any other member raising a question. I thought they were follow up, but you can finish what you were saying.
I was responding to a question around the challenges facing the newspapers, and I'm of the opinion that the MDDA in its mandate is to make sure that all media institutions get assistance. You would notice that when you get the report from the MDDA operations, there are many organizations, community-based newspapers, that release statements. When you look into the Facebook of MDDA or get into the website of MDDA, you would see that there are many community newspapers that are having a relationship with MDDA, and those newspapers are reporting in terms of where they are, because the objective of community media is to be able to report on what's happening, where people are, to be more localized as far as possible. Next local, and maybe to catch a national issue, and there, but primarily to be as local as possible. So obviously, in terms of the response of MDDA, which also deals with the control of such newspapers. MDDA gives guidance to the control, how the newspaper should be controlled, how that institution should be controlled, and capacitating those in boards to be able to control the manner in which the institution is owned and the manner in which information is disseminated to people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ramaswamy. I've exceeded your time with almost 10 minutes or so. We should have finished at the 15:10. But thanks very much for the response to the question. Remember, if I assume that you don't have follow-up questions, you are okay, expect the challenge. Thanks to Dr. Ramaswamy, thanks to avail yourself and accept the nominations. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
We are most welcome. Please relax. Before you, they are members of parliament. They are going to ask you questions in relation to the interview which you are attending. They will introduce themselves as they ask you questions. So when it's your turn to speak, I'm sure they explain that you press when finished, you press it off. For the sake of the recordings and the other things. So feel free to relax. Members will ask the questions as I've already indicated. If you don't understand a question, probably you to me you can ask the member to repeat the question. It's not going to be a one-man question, so that's why probably they gave you a writing test. Because you must take down the questions and then respond in a sort of a set of questions and not one more. Members, our candidate chief here, Ms. Evans, Honorable Chief, and not the Vice Chancellor we were talking about earlier. I'm Skubuzo Eric Colon, chairing or facilitating this process. As I say, members, they ask you questions, they will introduce themselves when they ask you questions. You've got 45 minutes, so it's up to you how to use the 45 minutes. If you spend too much time responding or repeating one and the same thing, it means by 45 minutes member might not have asked all their questions. But because of time limitation, they might have to stop at that particular point. I'm trying to say if you elaborate too much in one question, that disadvantages you too, might not be able to answer the question. So by the time you finish, you might not understand you or be able to weigh you in terms of the questions which members want to ask. Thank you, members. Our candidate is here, Ms. Evans. Before your question, Honorable Tsebe, Honorable Shin, Honorable Soma, Honorable Ntambi, in that order. No, not Honorable Tsebe. Honorable Nogwaka.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. You're most welcome. I have one or two questions for you. What is your understanding of the NDDA? Is it an objective NDDA's key mandate? And what skill are you bringing to make sure that the NDDA is to be the mandate? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Nogwaka, Honorable Shin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, I'm Marianne Shin. I see you've been nominated by the South African Communications Forum, yet you have no, but I can see from your CV, any experience in sort of the communications industry. So I wanted to know why they nominated you, but also why you want to get involved with the MDDA. What is your feeling about community newspapers and community radios and the role that they play? Also wanting to know, if you are on the board, you're dealing with a lot of small businesses. What are the key challenges that small businesses face in getting established, becoming financially viable? And with any particular reference or knowledge that you may have of the media industry in that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shi.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mainali, I'm a member of the committee. Honorable Chair, the question that I would like to ask to Ms. Arendt is that, but let me just say that it's based on my assumption that you understand the mandate of NDDA. It is that answer. In your own view, ma'am, I want to get a value add that you can add in the NDDA. In your own understanding, when you are appointed, fortunately enough, you are appointed as an MDDA board member, do you believe that the government or MDDA should continuously give imaging or community radio stations and community media, print media support, or they should only deal with the free funding to establish themselves? How would you ensure that moving forward after they have outgrown the MDDA, how should they make themselves sustainable moving forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Tammy?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Honorable Mukanda. I believe you might have gone through the over annual report of MDDA coming in, or you might have done some research when it comes to how the MDDA handles its own affairs, and you might have noticed that over the past 9 years, MDDA has been receiving an unqualified audit by business operation, and then in essence only talks to you that there are some elements of good governance, good corporate governance. The understanding of the Companies Act, the PFMD, and Change 3 Codes of Good Governance. In what way do you think all the complementary auditors have MDDA achieved good governance issues? And how do you use these policies to help solve the governance policies, especially when it comes to community media? You know that community media get their money appropriated from the parliament. how will you ensure he afforded an opportunity to serve on the MBD board? That also all community media projects comply with this good corporate governance policy. Secondly, how do you feel about the performance and evaluation of both individual board members and board as a group? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I didn't get the last question.
I'm saying, how do you feel about performance evaluation of individual board members and boards as a group?
Thank you. Honorable Rotwa, Honorable Stein will be there.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Dori Muruku. I'm a member of the committee. Miss Nauja Evans. Yes. Good afternoon. I just want to know from you, as far as you know the MBA, I think it's 2002. Do you think it is a collective created way is now? As far as you understand the mandate of such a institution, the agency, rather, do you think that the MGDA funding model is a good model? Should they go on with that funding, or do you think something else could be done in funding the MGDA? What work do you think the MGDA should be doing in terms of community radio station? You know, we wanted a concern about, we still have that concern about the advertisement. And we know that the big guys in the media are monopolizing. And do you think that the MTA is playing a viable role? And are they succeeding? Because one of the things that I think that is really bothering the MTA. Can you just elaborate on this? I think that is a danger.
Honorable State.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Ms. Evans. My name is Butch Stein. You can probably answer my question when you answer the Honorable Shin's question, because it's related to her question. You've spent a number of your years during your early work experience as some analyst, be it data analyst, business intelligence, etc. And you've also indicated that you've spent the last eight years with Edison in various positions, but under previous positions on your CV, you've got 15 years and 6 months in IT, and 2 years 6 months in telecommunications. I can't really pick up particularly the telecommunication part of it. You spent a year with Sandela Television and so on. So it's really linked to the question that Honorable Shin asked you in terms of where you come from and where you want to be in terms of being in the media. Now, just add to that, have you any interaction, other than perhaps a consumer, with a media, either TV or radio station or newspaper? And if so, if you can just tell us what that interaction has been. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question you mentioned.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Members. In answering the first question from Honorable Nogwaka, you wanted to know if I understand MDA's aims, objectives, and what skills I'm bringing on board. My understanding with the Media Development and Diversity Agent is to promote diversity, to help the agency to actually be able to fill up previously disadvantaged people in order to have access to technology, and also to be literate and be able to use technology. And the objectives are actually to ensure that we are in a country where everybody has got a sessions, has got a playing field is leveled. For me, that is the role, and a very important one, because due to the education in the country, we were not able to be all at the same level of educational competency. Now, the role of the NDDA is to empower people and also to make sure that even the small companies and groups do get recognition and they can be identified. Now, the skill that I will be doing, I have worked in my previous experience, which I will be explaining again later. I have worked with communities, and I also worked with companies in order to plow back to the communities, especially international companies who come into the country, to help them identify the areas of need. And that is where I was in a position to have computer centers and community centers that are equipped with computers and also internet lines, and work with schools in South Africa to make sure that we can train the community and the students on how to get access to that information. Now, coming to Honorable Skin's questions.
Honorable Shin.
Am I right to say Honorable Shin? Okay, sorry, ma'am. Okay. FNCF experience. I have started in IT, as it has been pointed out by Honorable Spain, and whilst in IT, I managed to work as a programmer, systems analyst, systems design, and business intelligence analyst. And then I moved across. After 18 years in IT, I wanted to have a connection with the telecommunications after 1994, because I saw the two fields that are working apart. I felt that there should be a way that we can have them working together, and to my surprise, the time has come now where the IT and the telecoms are merging. Now, the experience on both has actually helped me to understand the industry, and what has happened is, throughout my engagement in the industry, I have always been able to identify in communities through my work, because I have always been seconded to either is a bursary, the committee where we identify the people that should be getting bursaries. Now, when I was working for Anglo Valley in IT, we had that committee where we used to take high school students that just passed matric and give them bursaries. Now, what I managed to do there was to show that it shouldn't be about who has gotten the highest marks, but it should be more about who has worked the best in the environment that they are coming from. And for me, this is where the diversity has to be built in, and this is where I see NDA promoting, because people should not be judged only by what they have or what today, where they are today, but where they're coming from. And we found that students who were not top level would come into the company, and we provide bursaries for them, and they go to university, and they excel. At times excel even better than the ones who had the opportunities to have the best education from the best schools. That's the one contribution that I believe I can bring, because I was offered very early in my life, and I managed to grow up and take full responsibility of my future, where at times I had to work and study, but because you are focused on achieving what you want, I managed to get to where I am today. In the small business challenges, what I've actually realized is that we work with the SMEs as big conglomerates. I work for the blue chip company, Ericsson, and we actually are not empowering them to be able to take the business forward on their own, but we keep them under our wing indefinitely. Now, I believe that that is actually disadvantaging those companies and not helping them. My contribution to MGDA would actually to try and find a way where we can get the blue chip companies, the big guns, in the big giants in the industry world, to actually empower the small, medium enterprises, give them the solutions and help them to move their own business plan forward without wanting to keep them as a big brother. And I believe I can do that successfully because I have done similar projects in the past. Now, coming to Honorable Lusoma. Assumptions of mandate of MGDA. Yes, I have explained that with the MGDA, I believe that it's an opportunity for us to help MGDA to empower communities and societies that are previously disadvantaged and are still up disadvantaged, like in the rural areas. We do have rural areas that have not even had TV because the coverage doesn't reach them. So this is where we need to ensure that anybody that is in South Africa is benefiting from the Constitution, the way the Constitution has been outlined to benefit them.
So the question is that MGDA assert local radio and print media, okay? But do you believe that they should continuously, as an ongoing concern, depending on MGDA to be associated, or should they migrate so that they can have MGDA can take new entries?
I'm sorry about not understanding your question, Honorable Sean. I believe initially that they should be assisted, but while assisting them, there should be a time frame to say, we will be able to assist you for the next 3 years or 5 years or whichever time the agency would choose. During that time, also, expose them to ways of getting the radio stations and the community newspapers to be self-sustainable. Because whilst you assist, you also have to come with the knowledge and the expertise to help them, show them how they can actually gain value out of what they're doing. For instance, how they can sell themselves, how they can market themselves, and how we can attract more listeners and readers in order to be able to be independent, because you cannot support indefinitely. So while supporting, I believe we need to work with them to take them to the next level. I hope that answers you. Thank you. And from Honorable Mutani, for the past 9 years.
And this one is honorable. I think we've been keeping the usual names, so I'm interested in this one. It's honorable.
Mutani.
Okay, probably don't mind that.
He said very fast, so I have to try and catch the sound. I'm so sorry, maybe if I'm mispronouncing. Sorry, honorable. Okay, the audit, you wanted to know whether for the past 9 years the qualified audits have actually helped, they have worked, and my feeling is that having audits is actually brings accountability and responsibility, and the fact that there are going to be audits, it actually gives us the responsibility that you cannot just go willy-nilly and spend. But whenever you want to spend or whenever you want to allocate, you have to do your homework first. You have to ensure that you can support the reasons for allocating. So the audit for me should definitely carry on, because they have been very successfully carried out. And it shows that the agency is doing a good job. And the performance evaluation of board members. So if it's still you, ma'am, it is still you. the performance evaluation of board members. If we want to be part of the board, then it is very important that we have something to contribute. Now, if we are not being evaluated, we are not here to pass time, but we are here to deliver. And for any service that you give, you have to be rewarded or you have to be reprimanded if you come in short. Evaluation, performance evaluation is very important, and I would support it because if you do well this year, you always aim higher. Whereas if there's no measurement in place, you can sit back and relax and hope that you don't have to be accountable. For me, that is very, very important and crucial. Honorable Muniba? Murudwa. Okay, Murudwa. Thank you. Since it's in touching MDDA, I believe that they have carried out the mandate that they were supposed to follow, because first of all, they did put in place all the arms of supporting the business case that it was formulated for. Within the agency itself, you've got an organization that is being run efficiently and successfully, with the CEO being accountable to the board. For me, this says they have actually done everything correctly and they are growing in strength, and if anything, the funding that they should be getting now that they have shown a positive track record, it should also be.
That's all, Ms. Erras, Honorable Mulder. You can switch off your mic.
Let me assist Madam Erras. But my first question was not about the function. I have said I'm interested to know whether, since it's in session, where it is right now. Is it situated? You know the MDA is in the president here, and that is the question, the first part.
Thank you, Honorable, for your correction. The MDA is currently in the presidency. It is a body that should be independent. Depending on the reasons why it's in the presidency, I would say that if there was initially a need for it to be supported with the presidential structures, that has achieved its goal. Taking it forward, if the board members or the president feels that now it has grown enough to be independent, I don't believe that it should still be sitting under the presidency. It should be an independent body. And the funding models are good and should continue, because if they are changed, I mean, up until now it has benefited a lot of communities and it has provided support where it was greatly needed. If anything, the funding should actually come in more now that it has showed a track record of success. The work that it should be doing in the community radio stations, for instance, as I've said that currently the community radio stations and the media, community media, are being supported. The MDDA now, it should actually start putting in place ways of helping community radios and the media to sustain themselves, working with the community radios, because if it can stop supporting them now without anything in place, all the work that it has done up until now will be null and void. I hope I've answered all your questions, Ms. Honorable.
I'm still waiting for the big guy, the textiles, and everything.
May you please repeat it, ma'am? I don't have it.
I was asking a question about the struggle that the MDDA has in managing to
to carry out each mandate in terms of that issue that we're talking about, in terms of the advocacy and all the other things.
Okay.
And this is being monopolized by the big guys which are the tech students. And I am saying, what pain would you have if you were to be appointed also?
With the board members. Thank you, ma'am. I remember the question. With the advertising, especially the television stations and the radio stations from the clients, because of the weight that they carry with their followers, or the people that follow the radio and also the television, they tend to attract more advertisements. Maybe the MDDA we have to have a task to actually promote more and more the small community stations and also the small media to ensure that each and every success that they achieve is made a big deal of without getting the small community stations and radio and media to pay for the advertisement so that we can expose them and expose the good that they're doing and be able to attract the very same people who run to the giants because they want to see the returns. The small community radio stations are not actually very well known because they are local. They are always local, but if maybe we can work at growing them this far, this way we can extend the coverage and wherever it reaches, we target the people that are getting business out of those communities to be the ones who support by advertising in those communities. That definitely will help to bring out the publicity for this. And then the big guns will be seen as Goliath and David. Coming to this thing. My work experience, I started in IT, you've already heard that, and I've had from IT, I've moved from programmer all the way to business analyst, and then I wanted to get business exposure, that's when I took a business analyst position. Now, once I've had that, that's when the telecoms came up, and there was so much move towards the telecoms. And being in IT, I'm always attracted by challenge. I really love to pioneer wherever I am, and I always see a challenge as something that I want to be successful in. So I actually wanted to come out of my comfort zone after 17 years in IT and went into telecoms, which was a dreamhood for me. And by working there, I actually realized that the two industries should be working together. And today I'm reaping the benefits of taking that leap into telecoms. Now, when I was working in telecoms, I had a year where I started from the net television. Now, we wanted to understand how I got to, if I have worked in broadcasting. I have been presenting on television since 1990 until 1997. I did two family programs, and that exposure to SABC, I managed to use it because with being a presenter, you also have to go and attend community events, and you have to go and interview people of all walks of life. That exposure gave me more of the passion to say there are people out there who need help, and therefore whatever you do, you need to remember that if you can also stretch out your hand, you can reach out to more people. That is the exposure I had. And then I worked for a year at SABC as a communications and marketing director for commercial radio stations. At that time, they were being sold, and I had the mandate to market them in such a way that they can be bought. So I did that in 1996, and the only radio commercial radio stations that were remaining were Highveld, it was Metro FM and five FM, and the original radio station. Now, it was also at the time that we were changing the names to identify with the radios, which is what my contribution was, because it's easy to say the Radio Zulu, but who is Zulu? Whereas if you say it's Kozi, you can immediately see what the radio station stands for. So that's part of the exposure that I had when I was working in India.
You don't say that, and you say, I thought you are breathing, you are taking a break, you are still continuing. Honorable Shin?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I think the last question you gave was the question that I'd asked right at the beginning, was what was your involvement in media? And you're actually asking for a position on a board that's involved with media. And if Butch hadn't let it out of you, you would never have heard that you're actually involved in media. It's not been mentioned anywhere on your CV. Ever. You know, and you say that you've been able, you know, to present and all sorts of things. So, you know, if you actually put that in up front, you know, quite a, you know, not to beat you so hard to find out.
You'd have skipped the interview.
Sorry?
You'd have skipped the interview.
Yeah. So then, going back to the question of mine that you haven't answered, if it is, why did the Communications Forum nominate you? And I said, well, what if they nominate you if you weren't involved in media in any way?
We are members of the South African Communications Forum. Sorry, Ericsson as a company.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just a follow-up question to what Honorable Murutwa was asking. I thought I'll find comfort on that, but obviously I was in the fight. But one of the key issues that the NDG has been advocating for and crying out loud is the transformation of print media, in particular on local newspapers, in addition to what I try to remember what Honorable Murutwa said. I don't want to repeat that. If we can respond to the transformation in relation to what Honorable Murutwa was saying, the big time of the industry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mukwanda. Through you, Honorable Chair, I need to respond to Honorable Shin.
The problem we're talking at the same time. Can you just be in order to speak when you're supposed to? And second, you can't talk directly with the member for yourself to respond on machine. That's all. Whether the member satisfied or not is none of your issue. It's my issue to go back to the member and ask whether the question has been very
answered. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The question on my involvement with SACF, I work for Ericsson as the Director for Strategic Business Development, and the company has seconded me or has requested me to represent in the South African Communications Forum, where we actually get to deal a lot with the Department of Communications, with ICASA, and with our customers. That is how I am a member of the South African Communications Forum. And in the forum, they've also given me a position of chairperson for the Outreach and Stakeholder Relationship Committee, where we actually outline the activities that we would like the forum to carry out on behalf of the members. And last year, we launched the ICT Youth Forum, which was driven by the Outreach and Stakeholder Relationships Committee. And this year we are looking at other events that we are actually planning within South African Communications Forum, which I am sitting as the chairperson. In response to the MDA advocating for transformation and print media, the local paper and the big giants, I was trying to explain that the big giants or the big media are actually getting a lot of exposure through you, Honorable Chairperson, because of the reach they have countrywide. They reach a number of people, whereas the small communities or the community radio stations and community media are only located at a very small radius, so they don't go out. Now, my view would be, in order for us to help the local media and radio stations to get the wider reach, is to promote them through the same big giants with all the good that they are doing in the communities. We need to sing their praises through the big giants to ensure that they are well known, and the people, especially who have businesses and are benefiting from that community, will feel obliged that they should contribute back into those communities.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Members, any follow-up or your questions which have not been answered? They're all covered. Thank you very much. That will take us to the end of our session. Thanks very much to our various help for the nomination, because to serve in this board is more of serving the public than anything else. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to all honorable members.
Thank you. Our apologies for the weather, that you have not been in a flight for more than 2 hours before you could take off. You are most welcome. I assume you are familiar with the machine of Parliament. You have been using them for many times. Welcome to the interview. I will be having 45 minutes with you, we hope. For the interview, members will introduce themselves as they ask you questions. Members, our candidate is here, is Mr. Mani. Probably just take down their questions so that you answer in the bulk of questions, one by one. When you answer your questions, you don't have to go per member. But you know how to answer questions, they are similar questions. You can group them and answer them once other than going one by one. You could see Honorable Mrutua, her hand is up already. I'm delaying her. I'm Skumbuzo, Eric Kulwan, facilitating the process. We are most of the time. Members, Mr. Mani is here. Maybe the thing that we are here to make a presentation, they forget that we are here for interview. Honorable Mrutua. Who else? Honorable Mrutua?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mani. My name is Story Mrutua, popularly known as Mastori. You know, I have my hand up already. I'm very eager to understand from your experience, Mr. Mani, in terms of corporate governance. What areas have you, of concern, have you identified in the functions of the MTA? Maybe if you can just give us an imagination of where you think should be focused in terms of the diversity that we're talking about. Are we reaching the people? I'm asking you this question because I know you have experience, and I don't want to dilly-dally and ask you about the constitutional world, and I know that you are quite conversant with it. I would like you to just come straight forward and tell me what in your experience, where have you identified
the
groups? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mrutua, Honorable Shin, Nogwaka, Mutambi. No. Honorable Shin will be next. Honorable Nogwaka will follow. And Azwi Hangwisi will follow. and then Honorable Soma will be the last one. Or Honorable Stain will be at the end. Honorable Jin?
Thank you. My name is Naeed. Welcome back to these hello halls. I'm sure you missed them. And, I mean, I think it's just a wonderful campus to walk on, so I'm sure that, well, I would miss it, so I presume that you would as well. What is your affection or interest in community media? You know, you were obviously with the GCIS, but you have a very corporate, big gun experience. What have you learned from your time on the MGA board that makes you want to get further involved in community media? And what specific skills would you bring to it? And also, are you actually serving on any other boards around? I didn't see any others on your CV. Just sort of want to know your time pressures. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shin Novaka.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shin. That's a money. You have been in many boards, you have occupied key positions in government. I'm interested to know why MGG? Why did you accept? Because really, you did not nominate yourself. And maybe the people who have nominated you, in a way, they have their own reasons, but why acceptance of the nomination? What is your interest on that? Secondly, is the issue of the conflict of interest, if any, and I think I'd like to elaborate more on this one. In all the interviews we did with you, I asked you this question, so it's the same.
Thank you, Nawara. As you are busy.
This is at the end of the television, and that is long ago, China. Okay. Good day, Mr. Man. How do you think media diversity can not only be developed by nature? If I've been the opportunity to serve on the court, what different strategies do you deploy in the agency to ensure both to the
Honorable, as we have with your mic,
yes, your mic. Okay, fine. So, I'll start asking the strategies you are going to deploy in the agency to ensure that the media diversity can be safeguarded and also measured. And then, how do you believe that the MPDA might serve the public interest? Or is that not its primary purpose? And then, what distinction do you see between print and electronic media? And do you think they serve a different purpose in society? And the last one, with this extensive public broadcasting, so what do you think MGG is needed in this country? Thank you,
sir. Thank you. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Nani. From our questions, it's obvious that a number of us are curious about why somebody that started off as a geologist, worked your way through Director General, Cabinet Spokesperson, numerous other positions, would want to get involved with the MBDA. Now, I'm also saying that because you currently are a consultant to End Water. I think most of us know that we've got some serious water problems, and one would imagine that it would actually use up all your attention span and your knowledge to solve what could become our next ESCOM problem. So equally, like my colleagues, I'd like to know, what is it about the MDA that brings you back, that affects you back? And linked to that, if you could just also satisfy my curiosity. As somebody with an engineering background, I've made use of the services of geologists in the past. I don't know what an economic geologist is. So you've got a diploma in economic geology. So it may have nothing to do with the MBDA chairperson, but if in a very concise reply, just satisfy my curiosity as far as that's concerned, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other hands on this now? The song?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and afternoon, Zademahi. My name is Maina Nekoma, and I'm of the committee. I've only got one question. Let's say that, what is your view, or what would be your contribution when you fortunately get appointed to be part of the board of MDDA in ensuring that as MDDA gives funding, or let me say seed funding rather, to community radio stations and print media to ensure that they migrate to be to outgrow the MDDA in terms of support so that the new entries are able to be taken in. What you will contribute to ensure that that's financially sustainable moving forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Soma, Honorable Vot Fosset.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Omaria Druchen. Good afternoon. You've been on the NDDA before, you've served on the court, and I know that you understand the challenges that are faced by the small community newspapers. This, some of them are still facing those challenges, and they find it very hard and difficult to compete against these big media houses. If you are again on this media board, MDDA board, so how would you then make a difference to make sure those small community newspapers will be sustainable? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nazi.
Thank you, sir. I've got only one question. Good afternoon, Mr. Mann. What I want to know is that if it happens that you are appointed as a board member, how will you assist the people from rural areas? By rural areas, I mean deep rural areas, not towns along the road, deep rural area. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lazi. That's my problem. I say to you, the time allocated is 45 minutes. So as you respond to the question, ensure that you don't become elaborate, but still provide the necessary answers for the members. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. I think on the first question around the corporate governance areas of concern, sometimes in this space there is a preoccupation with clean audits, and people sometimes get the impression that when we clean audits, that it means everything is fine. And the issue here is sometimes the reason you get a clean audit, sometimes it's a lack of control in terms of what auditor, which samples auditors picked up. And if one auditor had to go back and pick up different samples, you might get a different answer. So my concern is that there's a wrong impression, and sometimes government focus is too much on clean audits, and every clean audit is a very diagnostic tool. I'm afraid it's not always like this. You may be lucky, clean audit might be in this, but it's not. Doesn't go that when you clean audit, it means all is well. So that's my area of concern. That you can clean audit, but it doesn't really mean all is well. You just have lucky that the sample picked up or the court sample. That's the one area. The other area of concern I would have is the issue around conflict. We know so many people, as it were, and it's almost impossible to come across some people that you don't know. So as to how that conflict is managed becomes very crucial and very critical. And also the issue of people having just a good conscience and knowing that even if I was going to be objective, but you have to do something that you actually seem to be objective and seem to be playing fair, and that when it's called for, you recuse yourself and so on, and don't create all kinds of question marks about your presence in a particular panel when you know that there could be issues of conflict. And sometimes conflict can be real, sometimes can be perceived. So it becomes very important that people understand the area of conflict in its length and breadth. So that's not the area. But in terms of MDA, even though I've mentioned these areas, I'm quite happy that I'm sure that with MDA, that's why we're there. We make sure that we manage these areas. Also, from a governance point of view, the other concern I have, very, very serious concern I have around MDA in particular, is the fact that sometimes we approve projects, but you find that part of the approval of the project was had to be preceded by a particular a project having tax care certificates. Now these projects, when they apply, it's almost like no, it's going to happen next week. It's a clearance certificate. So you put money on fences, and then the next thing is next week, is next month, is 2 months. You finish the whole year pushing for the clearance certificate. Then you got money that you could have used for other more deserving projects, but you find that your money is stuck, is locked up because it's approved for this project, but this project is not forthcoming in terms of checking the boxes for governance issues. So those are the issues that worry me, because then what we then do, you put this money aside and you risk losing it through trade, and because maybe you may not get a rollover, but at the same time you've got a written commitment, so you could be sued by this person to say, you promised me, but I'm not delivering. So those are some of the issues that keep us awake at night there. What's my affection for community media and so on? I really think that as a person, you see my CV, that I've been very fortunate in that I've really been around. I've worked for big companies in this country, both for cheap and multinationals and so on. So where I sit right now, I'm at the Blauberg mode. That's where I am. If you look at the expertise that we get at MDA, with due respect, it's a serious pretense. So I'm not there for money or anything. I'm just really there for a Blauberg mission. That's really what I'm there for. I think that South Africa has got a challenge, has got a mission of returning people's dignity and all, and I think the role of media, of MDDA, is a big part of that. Section 16 of the Constitution, that freedom of expression, without MDDA, most people will not get access to media. Most people will not get to be able to impart their ideas, their information, and all of this. So MDDA plays a significant role in the reparation of the human dignity of the people of this country. So for me, that is my passion, that I'm looking for a situation where the whole South Africa benefits in South Africa. So if there's any role I can play in making sure that I mean, if you go to some of these communities, some don't have a radio, some don't have a newspaper, they have also nothing, they're just living as islands in this country. So for me, I think I have a duty and a responsibility to say I have benefited from the policies of this government, where I am. All I can do right now is to make a small contribution via MDDA and to make sure that I bring up other people as it were. Skills that I bring, I have operated at the executive level, I've operated on boards for many years, so I bring a lot of governance into the equation. I've operated in business, so my ability to help assess projects in terms of their sustainability, in terms of the business plans that work or won't work, is almost natural, as it were, because I've been in the business environment for a while. Any other boards? No, I don't serve on any other boards. It's only the MDA board. So I've got time. That's why I'm focusing my energies into this. I'm not doing anything else. I think there are other people that do other things. For me, MDA and working to uplift the downtrodden masses out there is my mission. Any conflict of interest? Zero. There's no conflict of interest. Yeah, no, I there's nothing in my other space that I'm doing that has got anything whatsoever to do with LGBT. No, not even my wife, not even my children are involved in the space where I am in. So I sleep peacefully, knowing that I've got no conscience issues. What different strategy would you deploy? I think the one key thing that I think is crucial about a person like me in particular in this board, first and foremost, I bring continuity for individuals. A lot of board members there are quite new, and it actually takes some time before you become effective in a board. You go in there and you could take 18 months to settle and so on. So some of us are now settled. And now can now see the world for what it is. I think it would be a pity that all that preparation and all of this must now just go out of the window. So I think right now, this is the time where a lot of information is embedded, is internalized, as it were. So to then go from there to the next level is a much easier task than some brand new person that will spend 2 years trying to absorb the challenges. And also, I must say, my G-Site experience comes in very handy in terms of understanding the landscape. I know all the big players, I know what their thinking is, I know their issues. So this space really has been my space, so I'm able to navigate my way through and able to assist them in there. Obviously, I'm not applying for CEO position here. I'm with the board of supporting the CEO. The CEO is the one that's going to be running the things. But I think with a person like me, as part of the collective, I think there is a lot that can be added. And in particular, having been an accounting officer myself, there's a situation here where the CEO is term of office is finishing, but they get a new person very soon, becomes very helpful to have someone who understands the system, that has worked through the system, and to be able to provide guidance even to the new CEO that will be coming through. So I think I bring a lot of that skill. How would MDA serve the public? I think MDA currently already serving the public, and I think the big challenge facing MDA today in order to serve the public better. One key thing is the funding. You know, at MDA we sit with funding requirements just under 200 million as things stand right now. But the little budget that we have, the impact is greatly minimized. Now, if there's anything that could be done to make sure that there's more funding required, there's more funding for MDA, I think more can be done. There are no shortage of ideas on the ground. The people are out there battling it out. They just need support. So that's what you needed. And people like us, what we could do now, if we could understand the system, for people now to go back to government to try and make it be that the percentage of expense must come to the community media. Government must commit to percentage so that it must come to the community media. Only then but some of this is already happening, and you'll be surprised when you remember how that has brought life to a lot of community media. And if it wasn't for that, a lot of them would have shut down. So it becomes important. It cannot be overemphasized, the issue of commitment. Sometimes there's a number put on the table, but follow through is another matter. Now it requires people that know the network, that know how the system works, to be able to know that if I really want the particular department, who do I speak to, and how do we make sure that things work. And I think the other important thing that would also help, because sometimes the challenge is not even the fact that government is not spending, but it's just that government, when it spends community media, it requires a proper paper trail. Now, some of these community media people don't have proper governance structures, as it were. So you spend with them, but then they can't even paper trade to get the red flag on what it is a problem. So the issue is what one will do going forward is to assist to organize them. Even some of these, and the others with own challenges as well. Because sometimes you get these intermediaries, which have got assistance. But then these intermediaries need monitoring. because they give the money to do this, they give the paperwork, but for the money to go from the intermediaries to the EFAL project is another problem. So I think a person like me, who is aware of all of these things, is able to provide a lot of guidance to the executives in terms of what needs to be done to respond to this challenge. What's the difference between print and electronic media? I think maybe the difference is the listenership. If you look at electronic media in particular, radio sits with some about 9 million listeners at community level. The TV, community TV, sits with over 10 million listenership. And then the print is sitting with something like 3 million or so. So clearly, electronic is more popular than print. I don't know whether it's that, I suspect that also part of that is the issue of literacy, because a lot more people are better to get information listening to a radio than reading it on the newspaper. And again, that has got its own challenges, because then what it means is that going forward, MDDA must be in step with technology. We are now digitizing, so most of the projects that we work with are not digital yet, they're still analog. So we need to make sure that we are part of upgrading them. That's a challenge that this brings. What is economic geology? In a nutshell, yes, we need to get hydrology, get all kinds of geology. Economic geology simply is a kind of it's a kind of geology that is used mainly to extract ore from underground economically. It's the ability to be able to map the area underground, map the area on surface, be able to give it an economic value using the grade of whether it's gold or whatever is a mineral, and the ability to do the numbers to say in order to extract it economically what needs to happen. For instance, with the issues around the challenges in the mines and the discussions with unions and labor, if you have not understood the economics of that ore body, you have a problem, because you need to understand that you need so much tons of this mineral. And for you to get so much tons of this mineral, it doesn't come alone, it comes with dead rock. So what is the mixture of the actual ore versus the dead rock, so that we can extract the variable part and then sell that. So all that equation needs to be put into some kind of economic model. So that's what I'm claiming. In terms of the resource modernization, what we do, I think one of the things that MDDA can do, I know that we've been over the years trying to get money from Parliament and so on, but I think the step change that might need to happen with MDDA is to go abroad in terms of social funding, to go to the agencies. There are quite a few of these UN kind of agencies that are supporting democracy, because MDDA, after all is said and done, is trying to ensure that South Africans, all of us, enjoy democracy. So there are many of these agencies out there that are supporting democracy. So the strategy would be to go now to those agencies to say, in order for this democracy to be enjoyed by all, can you assist us? So I think that's what we want to do. What difference would you make to support small players? I think I've already covered this somewhat, but I think also importantly, the negotiation skills come in here. It's important for the big players to understand that their social responsibility is something that they must take seriously. They currently regulation in terms of percentage that these broadcasters must give to MDDA. As part of what is to happen going forward is how do we look at increasing that, because then it provides MDDA with a steady annuity income that can be used for these players. Again, also these players, the small players can also be advised to group themselves better, because sometimes you just find that if they were to just do the economies of scale better, they would be much better. But you just find everyone is trying to run his little shop everywhere. So part of what one might want to advise them to do is to do a bit of consolidation, so that they can operate, if you like, a bit more like a corporate. rural areas, how would you support rural areas? We are currently supporting rural areas as things stand right now, but again, I think even there, it should be an issue of, because you want to make things sustainable, so one needs to map out an area that would have rural and not rural, for lack of a better description, so that the one area can subsidize the other, and so on. So that's what one would do. With the signals as well, in the rural areas, sometimes a problem because there are not enough transmitters. So the reception area, the reception becomes not so good. So what one would do is that in order to support these rural areas is to use the MDA muscle to go and negotiate for more of these transmitters from Centec and others so that the place in the rural areas are supported. Chair, I think I have other questions.
Thank you. I can see some hands for follow-up. Honorable Sebe, Nogwaka, followed by Honorable Shane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. No, thank you very much, Mr. Mani. I'm more interested on this coming back of the good thing. But I just want to share with you because myself, I already said that you have been there, fortunately, in government, in all this border gate, more experience. But you also have been there in GCIS, where the NGD was under. What do you do differently that you were not able to do when you had an opportunity by being maybe an official or a civil servant? Thank you.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, Chairperson. You refer to one or two governance issues, and I just want to touch on one because I'm not sure if you merely indicated the problem or if you made a suggestion as how it could be resolved. And it was the one where you indicated where money would be ring-fenced for an application, but you then wait for certain necessary paperwork to come from the applicants, and then you could wait up to a year, and you know the money is put away, it's ring-fenced, you can't use it for anything else. Was there, at the end of that explanation, was there a suggestion from you that one would have to deviate from those governance issues? Or what is your explanation to get around that particular problem? Or what is your suggestion, may I ask? How do you see us getting around a problem like that? Because I would imagine that type of problem, and we've seen when we do oversight, that in many instances, even after they've been given money, there's a problem with the SARS or them not paying taxes and all sorts of things. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it. Nani. No comment is not an option. We will proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. What did I do with you currently? Firstly, I think even when I was at GCIS, I did some work to try and make sure that I'm not starting from scratch. I did some work to make sure that governments commit at a national level, commit to so that we have a bigger patch in terms of the other spend. I think what I could not do whilst I was there is to have a bit more time to go to provinces and local government. Well, now I have the opportunity to go and market NDDA in those areas, because there's a lot of marketing budget in those areas, and there's a lot of everyday promotion that can happen in those. So while I was at GCIS, I didn't have the opportunity to be able to go down at that level. So that's what I would do now, to go to the provincial and also when you get there, to also focus on also setting up these departments, as it were. So that's what I would do differently. And how would I solve the tax clearance issue? I think that issue, the only way to deal with it is that part of the application process of MDDA must make it clear that even when they have a tax certificate, please, it's premature to even talk to us, so that we don't have a problem. So for no tax certificate, it must disqualify you from applying, because it only does not help to use the heart. In this place, you must use the head. So that's what we do.
Thank you. Use your head, not your heart.
members of the Philippines. Thanks very much to Arido Cell for the nomination. I'm sorry that I was going to say, we've already said it, because we believe that the people who accept some of these nominations is because they want to serve the public. But thank you very much, and this will take us to an end of our interview. We have not exhausted our 45 minutes, but I'm not going to try to make you exhausted. I think we are done with you, and you have done very well in terms of less than 40 minutes or so. Thank you very much. All the best. I hope the flight now is going to be for another 4 hours. Thank you.
But there is team every day that plays our leg for about 10 minutes ago. Or as soon as we are back, we'll start.
Let's start so that we can have more time with our panel. Members, let's start. Or probably let me give you maybe 5 minutes. Ms. Murli? Probably while some members are trying to settle down, let me maybe apologize in terms of the experience of your other program. The administration was keeping me abreast in terms of your discussions and trying to get in here, and the commitment and the finances and trying to the electronic world using teleconferencing and all sorts of things that we were trying to do and so on. My apology that they could not wake up, wake out in terms of trying to use the technology. Hopefully next time when broadband has been rolled out in all the cities, it will be easy that people have just remain there and then connect and talk to you and so on. But thanks very much for your efforts to be here. I'm just waiting members to set it down. Actually, they brought you quicker than we expected, but it's fine. Probably them take it down for 5 minutes or so, then we start our process. Let's start, member, so that we can finish. I'm sure we are 4 minutes behind. We're supposed to start 16:45. We are at 16:50. No. There are messages saying they are requesting members to remain in their house until the hours. Yeah, to go back and remain in the house. I think we are here because of the mission of Parliament. We only go when it's going for voting, that's all. Members, our candidate is here, Ms. Modi. You are most welcome. Sorry to keep you waiting. They brought you in during the break time. I hope they will show you how to operate the systems on and off, on when you speak and off when you finish to speak. These are members of Parliament before you, of course, multi-party. We'll ask you questions. We have allocated 45 minutes for the entire interview. I'm calculating that so that you are mindful when you are responding to questions and not to spend more time in one question, whereas you end up maybe running out of time for the rest. You preferable just write down the questions as members ask the questions, because you are going to take it in bulk, not one by one. Remember, each member will ask, just write down the question, then you respond later on the questions and so on. Members will introduce themselves as they're asking you the question. Myself, I'm Skumbuzo Eric Colon, facilitating the process of sharing the session. So if a member asks a question and you don't understand the question, you can indicate to me so that I can ask the member to repeat the question. Don't try to engage directly a member, because if you do that, I will watch and say nothing. So I hope you are ready. Again, our apology. I'm told that yourself also the flight loss was not as simple as the other one. Members, Ms. Mood is here before us again. Not Honorable Murutwa, her hand is up already. Honorable Singh, the second hand. Honorable Murutwa, you can fire up what other members are still thinking about.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Ms. Adel Mosley. My name is Stolen Mood. I'm a member. I would like to know from you whether you could explain to us what the mandate of MCCA is, and also explain to us why you think it should be avoided. What contribution are you bringing to the MCCA? From the CV that we've got in front of us here, maybe you can select out areas that are specific and you think that we can utilize to be appointed. Secondly, if you are quite confident with the funding of the MPDA, do you think it assists, is it relevant? In terms of the mandate that the MPDA has. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. May I proceed?
Thank you, Chair. This is Dr. McGee. My name is Marian Shin. From your CV, you spent much of your life in academia. And there's no hint of any exposure to the practicalities of working in media, either radio or print or television. So what is your enthusiasm for this environment of small media outlets? And obviously what you bring to that. See, you do have some experience in business development. I think that's what it says. Do you have any experience in helping businesses get established, and perhaps that's where your experience lies? And that'll be for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Singh. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Dr. Muthi. My name is Butch Stein. My questions are along similar lines. I've also looked at your CV. You've been in education. I noticed, though, that you have done some research as well in terms of community media. But it's really along the similar lines is what exactly attracts you to this particular field, being on the board of MDA, and what difference do you think you can bring to the board of the MDA? Thank you.
Obama.
Michelle, let me just complete right in the sentence.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I asked you the last part of the sentence. It was what attracts me to the field, and the second part of the sentence, please, Chair.
That was saying.
The second part was really in terms of, and it linked to the Honourable Mastori's question about what unique skill do you think you bring to the board of the MDA?
Thank you. Lisoma will be next, Stefan and Kathy. But that's all before Dr. Moon's finished to write.
Thank you, Chair.
Lisoma?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Afternoon, Dr. Moji. My name is Maya Lisoma, member of the committee. My question will be, or what I'd like to have an understanding, if you are pushed enough, appointed as one of the MDA member of the board, what will you do? Currently, MDA
I'll use a term for my better understanding also, so that I can get my idea across to you. Seed funding or seed support, as it may. But moving forward, for them to be financially sustainable, what else can you suggest to those local community radio stations and trade media, that may, instead of relying on and being able to fund by government? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Your background is education. Now, I want to know whether you link education with media, whether you think you could use media to spread the message of education and tell our nation that education is important, it can help fight poverty, it can give skills. Has that been done or it hasn't been done? If it has been done, how do you think you can improve it through the media? Especially in rural areas.
Thank you, Honorable Dekane. And Thabo will be next. So just waiting, Dr. Muti. Thank you, Thabo.
Thank you, sir. My name is Honorable Azea Wilson Mutangi. What do you understand as the three core principles of good governance? How do you ensure that this forms a process and a structure point of view within an agency such as the NDDA? You coming from the media, from the academia, how important do you think media literacy and increasingly illiteracy is to the quality of citizenship? And if so, how might the NDDA promote it? And the last one is, what is your understanding of the NDDA Act 14 of 2000? And what are the weaknesses of the current act as it relates to community needs? And that was the result of your research.
Thank you, Honorable Sandy.
Forgive me, Chairperson. I will ask just the repetition again of so that I can be sure I've covered everything.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
What is your understanding of the media and Media Development and Diversity Act number 14 of 2000? And what are the weaknesses of the current that is related to the community media?
Thank you. Dr. Moti, you may respond to all the questions.
Thank you, Chair. I think I should have taken a pause in short writing or something of that sort. Shorthand, yes, as it was now. Thank you, Honorable MPs, and thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity, first of all. I will be upfront and say you will forgive me and have patience with me, because I think it would be natural to be nervous and maybe to stumble over a few questions, not be as confident as you would like me to be in terms of my explanations, and then maybe stumble over a word or two and then go back. So please just understand it in that sense. And if I do not answer a question of the through your chair, sure, I will be asked to clarify. I will go through my responses in terms of the questions as they were posed, but I think maybe there is a bit of overlapping, and I might be answering a question more or less with the same response, Chairperson.
What you can do, Doctor, is that if you think that questions are overlapping, you don't have to go past them. You can just respond to those questions. It's okay.
I will just say I'm already covered. No, I'm just joking. I'm normal. First of all, the mandate. I think the mandate is very clear of the MDDA, and having also read through the mandate in terms of what is on the website, the mandate speaks specifically to community media and the development and diversifying of media within the community in order to support for growth and development. It speaks specifically to addressing and redressing marginalization, those who have been excluded. It speaks about building development, building capacity through training, through research, through providing resources. It also speaks about ownership and access and control of media within those communities. I think those are some of the areas. It also speaks about building community awareness of community media. All this in terms of bringing empowerment, bringing development, bringing economic change within communities. I think broadly speaking and also summarizing, to me that is what the mandate is about. The question in terms of why do I think I should be appointed, that question has also crossed my mind. And I asked myself, why should I be appointed? Because I would not want to be appointed simply for a reason that this is a very responsible position. It's a position in which you need a board which is a responsible and an accountable board, a board that serves with integrity. I'm not here saying that I have the specialized skills as a media person. That's not what I'm saying. My CV shows I'm an academic who has a background and experience in terms, and I will elaborate on those experiences in terms of what I've been asked here today. But I do come with experience of having served on councils and having served on boards, and knowing that we need people who have integrity, who are professional, who are objective, and who serve and work in the best interest of our communities. And that is my passion. I come from an area where I currently work within an area which is historically disadvantaged, and I work within the former Transkei and also the former Ciskei areas, and I work with our student population, and our background in terms of our community work that we do is largely within those areas. So for me, development of community and development and empowerment of rural communities and disadvantaged communities is something that has been very close to my heart and something that I believe in. And education, the question was asked, how do I seek education and what is the link between education and media? For me, education is the only tool. And I'm not just talking about formal education, I'm talking about informal education, sitting around, listening to the media, reading your newspapers, listening to your radio, and social media, Twitter, etc. Those are our tools of empowerment for our communities. And that is why I've been involved and getting involved with projects that are happening within our university as such. To name a few, we have currently the Eastern Communications Forum. That forum was established through funding that we received before through the German funding, DED, which is now GIZ. And we started that forum. I'm not a member of the board, but I am the director of the school in which that forum operates. So I have overall responsibility to see that forum is productive, that it works according to its mandate, and that we deliver in terms of the university, in terms of our community partnership and what we do. Unfortunately, at the moment, the forum, there is a move for the forum to go to Rhodes University, which is a bit of a disappointment to us that we as a university that has profiled ourselves as serving our marginalized communities, that the forum would make such a decision. But that's not neither here nor there. But through the forum, where do I come? I've been involved in training programs, in capacity building programs. In terms of our UNESCO, I've worked with UNESCO. I've been to Namibia doing the policy for radio community stations, traveled to the north and to the south, thus within rural communities, gone to places within those communities, worked with the people at grassroots level, and actually come away there feeling that we have done something to leave behind for people to build on. But the important thing is capacity building, and there was a question on sustainability as well. Sustainability is a challenge. sustainability, we find that governments are going into partnerships and going in and providing resources, providing training, etc., for these communities in terms of media within the community. But once you pull out of that community and you pull out of that project, and that's that experience we're having with the ECCF as well, the project tends to come to a standstill. What we have identified is there's a need. There are people, even though it might be the poorest of the poorer communities or the marginalized communities, there are people who have businesses who can promote, who have the interest of that community at heart. And these are the people we found that if you establish a board and you bring these people on board in terms of a media board, and you assist, part of capacity building is also assist planning and developing a business plan, developing growth and marketing of that particular community station, whether it's a radio station, whether it's print media, whatever the case may be, and bringing to the attention and the consciousness of people that this is what this media can do for your community. It can assist in terms of the development, the empowerment to talk about day-to-day issues. There are so many issues that we need to speak on in terms of economic issues, issues of abuse, issues of HIV, AIDS, etc., issues of business issues within that particular community. So if you can bring your business people on board and create a situation or a board and a state where people are empowered in taking responsibility for that particular media, and that ownership can go a long way to building sustainability. We do have other forms of marketing and advertising, teaching what we did in two places in particular. We took stories to people. We taught them how to write stories for the community, etc., so that they had, you know, it was an educational program where people were learning through storytelling. And you take that to your community so that people have buy-in and see, yes, this radio station is not just a radio station, for example, that's throwing out pop music, because that's what we found. A lot of the community radio stations out there are not fulfilling that mandate of development because people have not been brought on board. You need to do homework. People need to be sent up door to door, house to house, and say, listen, we're having a meeting, please come. Please come to the community hall or whatever the meeting point is and come and listen to what we are, what we stand for, and get your buy-in through those type of structures. So community plays a very big role in community, in the support and sustainability of community media. I just want to see what other questions there are that I might not have answered. There was a question on whether I'm conversant with funding of the MBDA. I will not say that I know everything about the MBDA. What I know about the MBDA is what I've read and what I've researched. I've not been a person who has been actively involved, as I said before, but I've seen members like Louise Bale. I've been a member. I've worked very closely with her in terms of the ECCF in the past because she was a board member on the ECCF as well. I've seen that there are funding and obviously very good because very good funding partners. In the sense that this is a government, MBDA is through a partnership between government and media stakeholders. What I didn't see, which I thought was absent, but again it might be that I've just read one or two annual reports and not the broader figure, is that we need to look perhaps more internationally as well. As I said, we have worked with GIZ, we have worked with UNESCO, etc., and I haven't seen the report makes no reference, let me put it that way. I'm not saying that MBDA does not work. I'm just saying there is no reference to those sources or to partnerships, etc. Maybe that is just something which is an oversight in the report or an oversight in my reading of the report. I need to acknowledge that as well. There was a question on my experience in the practicalities of working in media. I am not a journalist, I'm not a media person, I'm not a specialized field. How do I get involved in media? I am like many people, I studied in languages. And from languages, I went to a technicon where we started public relations, and I got involved in communication science.
and I was a lecturer in communication science, and that is how interacting with my colleagues who are PR and media specialists, that is where we started networking. And the brainchild, the ECCF, was a brainchild that came out of our networking, going to media conferences, listening, and even doing papers. If you notice, some of my articles are very much about facilitating communities through community media and so forth. So that is how I built a passion for it, and I found that my colleagues are very involved with community media. In actual fact, we have a vehicle that goes up specifically into rural areas, going to various media stations, listening to people, bringing them on board. We have a hub, we call it the media hub, where we bring in members of community media, and they come in for training, etc., report writing, issues on ethics, advertising, business, whatever the needs are of that particular community. So that is where my involvement is. In terms of business development, yes, I do have a background. I've done a lot of development plans, not necessarily with media, but I've worked with other agents. Like I've worked with the transport sector, and I've done strategic planning and business planning with it, and I've been substantially involved in a workshop and with consultations in that field as well. What attracts me to the field? I think having a language background and working with people within the media and within public relations, because that's the field in which our school relates currently, School of PR, Media and Marketing as well. Working with people who have a passion and seeing their interest, that started an interest in me. And I also saw that the impact it has in terms of communities, and having gone into communities myself and workshops there myself, although it was that gender-related policies, etc., not necessarily skills in parting in a particular journalistic field or media field. And that is what started my interest, and that is what has kept me going. Also my students, seeing my students owning their own media agencies, coming to me, and my one nomination was actually by a 4 student. And they are the ones that always come back and tell you what's happening and involve you in what they are doing. So that is how I was attracted. What is a unique skill that I bring? I think that I'm not saying it's unique, but I think I do believe that I speak my mind. I'm not a person who, if there's a project that comes in and there might be an issue around it, I will not necessarily side with a particular person for a particular reason. I think I'm very professional in that sense, and I also have a sense of integrity, and I have a very direct way of speaking. I do speak my mind without losing my respect for people, but I think that is something that I find that sometimes we do have issues around being able to stand up, and I do a lot of reading. I research before I speak. And I think that's important. I go through a project thoroughly before I come and make a decision on that project. If I don't know something, I will tell you I don't know. I will not pretend to know something that I do not know. I think there was a question on what are the principles of this, or what is my understanding of the 3 core principles. I think for me, core principles are issues of integrity, of professionalism, of accountability, of transparency. And for me, those are principles of good governance, and those are the principles any board stands by, and committing ourselves to that which we say we are passionate about. So for me, that covers also that issue of good governance. How important is media literacy or illiteracy? With an illiterate nation, you cannot have a development, any development of any kind. You have a stifled economy, you have a stifled social justice system, you have a stifled health system. Your entire economy collapses. Illiteracy of any form is what, it's a sad state of a nation. That is the only way I can describe it. So media literacy and media empowerment building, that is where we build. Some people do not have the opportunity, but fortunately in South Africa we don't necessarily have the case. We have a case of low levels, although it's disturbing in, in, understand about languages. Our core languages, our main languages are still English and Afrikaans. But we need to build capacity for people to be able to learn and to empower themselves in their language of choice, whether it's mother tongue or whatever language of choice the person decides this is the language in which I can learn my core competencies, my basic competencies, in order for me to be able to conduct myself as a citizen, and as, not just as a citizen, but as a responsible citizen that can contribute to the economy of our country. I think that is important. And how does it work? You can't have, media is linked to education, and education is a tool for media. It's actually, it works two ways. You educate your citizens through media, and media is also, you need to update yourself all the time so that you are on top of what is current. People are using social media. If we don't know social media ourselves, then we are also not keeping up with the time. So it is critical in my understanding. What is my understanding of the Act? I understand that the Act is a form of governance, and it's a grounding principle. It's a way of how you conduct yourself. That is what the Act is, and it gives empowerment, authority by government to what is done. It is something that guides us. It's a tool, yes, but it's also giving authority and power. The weakness of the Act, I think that was the question they asked, that what is the current weakness of the Act? The very issue of education, what to me, I don't say it's a weakness, maybe it's again my misreading of the Act, but it's almost formal, the formal part of education, including our universities and colleges, I don't see that coming through, and I think that is something that I can also bring. We have partnerships, there's partnerships in terms of teachers, there's partnerships in terms of fundraisers, in terms of others, but I don't see empowerment through the people that can train us. And those are your universities, your colleges, etc. That is something that I also find that perhaps is absent, or I'm absent, or I haven't read the Act properly. I can't be called to order on that sheet. I just want to see if there's anything that I have not answered. Chair, I'd be happy to be guided by our honourable MPs if there's anything that they feel that I haven't answered, but I will rest there for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, for your answers. Members, follow-up questions. After getting the responses or questions might have been missed. Dr. Moody? Honorable Nivot Rocket?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I don't know if anyone has asked that question. Do you have any conflict of interest if you step on the board and all members from your family? Thank you.
Thank you. Dr.
Moody. Thank you, Chair. I do not have any family members on the board. I've noted to the record if there are any more than board membership is. And no, I do not have any conflict of interest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Dr. Moody, thank you very much for your responses to the members' questions. I don't see any follow-up, and I don't want to press for follow-up because we might be here until next. So I have to leave it as it is. But thank you very much, especially to our various for the nomination, because you know this board, I'm not to press this board. Our board for people who want to have and serve their country to take South Africa forward as we are marching forward. So thank you very much for your acceptance to be for the nomination. And again, thank you very much for coming, responding to the members' question on the best moving forward.
Thank you.
The
Honourable Chairperson, and thank you also for the invitation.
Thank you. Members, that will conclude our interviews for today. As you know that we've got one left candidate which we'll have to finish tomorrow. I think the name is Ms.
Toli Swati Tabu. I don't know the number, but the name is Ms. Koli Swati. Thank you very much. We are done. And this meeting stand again. Is that people vote for?